Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. My name is Chopper Pete Quinnell, and today I'm joined by Andy Gatson.
Hi Pete, how are you?
I'm alright mate, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad Pete, I'm not bad. Although fans will be devastated to know that I've just booked another weekend off at the end of September. I've got 2 weeks off at the end of August and 1 week off at the end of September, so you are going to have to find someone equally as charismatic and attractive as I am to cover. So I imagine you'll be scouring FHM's top 100 list of whatever it is. I don't know if it's FHM anymore. For a co-host, because that's the only sort of only place you're really going to find anyone.
Yeah, that's true. And at the end of September as well.
Yeah, 1 week off. I'm going to Dorset with some friends for a socially distant weekend.
Whoa, how are you getting there in a socially distanced car?
So we are. It's a couples retreat. There are three couples, so we're all driving separately,
and they're all
in separate bedrooms. Although that could change.
Anyway, let's talk about SmackDown first. We've got lots of emails and stuff to get through in the outro. But let's get into talking about the main show, where we're going to be firstly talking about Brother Nero showing up in the bloody bar fight with Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. Here's the show. First things first that we're going to be talking about today is this bar fight between Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, where seemingly we've got Brother Nero back. It all started, it was a cinematic match, much like many others that we've seen so far. Sheamus walking in with his vest and hat and braces he's got on. Sure, it actually looked kind of cool. I'm into it, honestly. I think it's a really good look for Sheamus. But anyway, yeah, they both sit down together, he and Jeff, at the bar and just kind of chat before the fight gets underway. It was really, really strange. Sheamus just being like, I'm looking forward to killing you, basically. And Jeff Hardy then cut a really strange promo and said that, you know, he's risen above all this addiction stuff and he is now the bar himself.
Oh, he's a light bulb.
Yeah, he's that light. He's that TV over there. He is the bar, man. I was very confused by this promo. I didn't get it.
Yes. Well, the first thing I noticed was the name of the bar. I don't know if you saw it, but they clearly wanted to think, oh, how are people going to know that it's a bar that Sheamus goes to? And they just called it Irish Shannon's Bar. Okay, right. So the Irish Shannon's Bar. Jeff Hardy isn't there to start with. Sheamus is sitting on his own, wearing, as you say, a cool outfit. But that was just a what's a stereotype of a man in a bar in Ireland? Oh, I know, a white top, braces, a beard, ginger. Okay, cool. Jeff comes in cut like 30 seconds later, yeah, starts talking utter nonsense to the point where you're thinking, maybe he has been drinking. And he just kind of does a very Jeff Hardy 2020 promo, which is just a bunch of words. And Sheamus reacts as we all reacted.
Yeah. So, I mean, his promos about his actual addiction have been fine when he's just like, you know, don't laugh at my problems. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be a beacon of light and all this stuff. That's fine. But this one was just saying, I am this bar in front of me. And we, yeah, like you said, Sheamus's reaction, I think, was everyone's reaction to this. It's actually our SmackDown highlight of the week, getting straight into it today, because, good God, Sheamus's reaction to this, I think, was everyone's reaction to Jeff Hardy's promo.
I am this bar, man. What?
It's just his look beforehand. Just what?
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, are you okay, buddy? And Andy has also created a little thing here to showcase that Jeff is actually that TV over there and those lights and that bar, man.
I'm so good at Photoshop, you could barely tell that I've actually edited that photo.
Exactly, yes. It was a work of art, really. Yeah. But then they get into it. Jeff pours himself a drink, which Sheamus just reacts normally to, just like, oh, yeah, cool. It's like, Sheamus, that's a big deal. He's pouring himself a drink. And then, yeah, he throws the drink in Sheamus's face. Obviously, they start brawling and getting into it. And honestly, moral objections aside to Jeff wrestling a fight in a bar, not a huge fan of that. That aside for a second, I thought the match was really fun. I think they worked really well with the setting that they had. They didn't have that much room. It was quite like a small bar and like small corridors and like the bathroom and then, you know, the little hallway that they had. They didn't have that much to work with, but I thought they made some really fun spots with what they did. Aside from when they were in the bathroom and they used the stock toilet flushing sounds when Sheamus put Jeff's face into a urinal and like flushed it. And then they just put the most stock sound of a toilet flushing ever over the top of it. That was hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they've got flushing urinals at all is pretty impressive. Like, I've seen the ones that kind of clean themselves after like every 10th pee. But to have a urinal that is got a manual flush is pretty impressive. But yeah, they could have worked. It was a bit like the Wilhelm scream, you know, the most used sound effect in movie history. The sort of when anyone dies. It was fun. It was silly. It was a cinematic match, and I didn't mind because the rest of it was just kind of like you said, moral objections aside, if you just forget that and think, this is just a fun thing to watch, it was good.
Yes. And it got to a point where Jeff started hiding in a cupboard, came out with a ladder because he's Jeff Hardy, so of course he has a ladder. Something we didn't mention actually at the start was Jeff actually mentioned Matt Hardy. Whoa!
He said, not by name, just my brother.
No, my brother. He had to delete his WWE career. And then said something else that wasn't really related to that. So I feel like they just wanted to throw
Matt,
that in there for no
Matt
reason.
Matt is a bar stool.
Yes, he is that bar stool over there. But yeah, he starts using the ladder. There was a really cool bit when Sheamus was walking out of the bathroom trying to find Jeff that was hiding in the cupboard with the ladder. God, Sheamus is in such good shape. Like, he was silhouetted from the light behind him on the bathroom, and he was walking, he'd taken his vest and his hat off at this point, so he just had like the trousers on at this point, and just the figure he cut as he was walking out the door, I was like, man, that is an imposing figure. It's a cool shot to have Sheamus walking out there. I thought he looked great. And then they start brawling some more. Jeff gets thrown into a drum kit and they cut to an ad break immediately, which I thought was great. Jeff starts coming back. He starts to climb the ladder to go for a swanton, and then the bartender gets involved and just starts beating up Hardy, which makes sense considering Hardy tried to kill the man on an episode of SmackDown.
Was it the same guy?
I believe it was the same guy.
It looked like a different guy to me.
It might have been. I wasn't really.
It looked like a different ethnicity. Was basically my.
Oh yeah, my I thing. Didn't.
So
I didn't
so
really
Mr. is just really good friends with all the bartenders.
I saw bartender and assumed it would have been the same one because I thought they would have kept that consistency. My bad. But yeah, anyway, the bartender gets involved, starts attacking a Hardy. Hardy puts him through a table, powerbombs him through a table, which was a great spot. But then Sheamus manages to smash a bar stool over Hardy, get him down, and he puts his hat over Hardy's face. And then instead of pinning him and winning, he goes behind the bar and pours himself a Guinness and then drinks that instead. And as it came back, they were really lingering on the shot of Hardy with his face covered. And I was like, well, it's going to be Brother Nero, isn't it? Probably going to be Brother Nero, right? And then he came back and he took the hat off and suddenly he's got face paint on and he's Brother Nero now. And he comes in and he's got the contacts in that make his eyes look super weird and freaky. And he gets up and starts waning on Sheamus, climbs the ladder, hits a swanton and wins. And then after the match, he kind of shuts his eyes and reopens them and it's back to his normal eyes again, but with the face paint on. Wow. And then he walks off. I thought it was quite fun. Honestly, I'm into it. If we can get Brother Nero in WWE, I think it could be interesting, could be fun. If they're really going to be pushing Hardy, which was the reports before he returned, as Brother Nero, I think it could be an interesting character, especially if he's got kind of a bit of creative license over it as well. Granted, in like interviews and stuff, Matt Hardy has said that he was kind of the creative force behind the whole Brooklyn universe and even getting Jeff on board with the Brother Nero character. Matt was kind of the main guy behind it. So whether Jeff is going to have that kind of creative spark to know, you know, what to do as Brother Nero, who knows? But it could be fun. I'm quietly optimistic is what I have about Brother Nero. So, and I thought the match was fun, aside from, you know, the actual fact it was at a bar with Jeff Hardy. But yeah, aside from that, I thought it was really good.
Yes. And dare I say it, felt like the end of this feud.
Careful now. Don't know if we can have that, mate.
I cannot see. I mean, I know that we've said this before. I cannot see where they're supposed to go from here.
I can. Sheamus is going to come out next week and say, Jeff didn't beat me. That other thing that was possessing him beat me. Jeff, you didn't beat me fair and square, fella. And whatever else he's going to say.
Oh, that was unfair because we were in a bar and that's Jeff's natural habitat. Yeah, you come and fight me in a pot of gold. I don't know. Irish things.
I thought it was fine and it felt worthy of the main event spot of SmackDown.
Yep.
I thought it was good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like quizzes?
Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, you should. There's loads of extra bonus content and loads of really cool stuff going into next month. We're soon going to be taking suggestions for the WrestleTalk Extra podcast for August. Ooh. So if you want to get in for that, you can pledge at the $25 and above tier. Speaking of the $25 and above tier, I almost got that segue right. Mm-hmm. If you pledge at that amount or more, you get your own custom wrestling name and it gets shouted out on a show much like this one. So thank you to Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Oh, well done, Chris.
And the cheap pop.
The ginger bearded wonder that's not Laurie, Peter Greaves.
Woo! Thank you very much.
I'm Batty Man.
Nathan Batty.
Oh, woo! Lovely. Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Thank you very much. Please, sir, can I have some more Domhnall Beggs?
Oh, woo! Yeah. The humble egotist Danny Average.
Woo! Thank you very much. Living in the past, Kieran Pryor.
Oh, woo! Nice. Thank I you. Get it. Probably better than Kyle, Philip O'Reilly.
Woo, that's a bold claim. He is pretty great. Jonathan, the headmaster headman.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Manipulating Manny Umaria.
Hell yeah, thank you very much. Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain Dew.
Thank you. And lastly, it's Zandamania running wild.
Thank you very much. And stop rolling your eyes. I'm going to speak to Ollie about that. Gonna have him have a word with you about
he's
that
on
one.
Holiday. He's not here.
Yeah, till next week. Got my eye on you, Datsun. So the show itself opened up, and I thought it was going to be the same as last week. When it first opened up, you had the little thing where you had Jeff Hardy cutting a promo. First words he said, I went, oh God, okay. Started off the show by going, my name's Jeff Hardy and I'm an alcoholic. I was like, oh, so we're starting here this week,
bold,
are we?
Bold.
All right then. Yeah, and then it cut to Sheamus cutting a promo and I was like, okay, cool. So we're going to get promos from everyone on the show talking about their stuff. Nope, just Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, which is a shame because I really liked that from last week where just everyone kind of got their word in before the show started. But hey, JBL came in. It was like, I know about bar fights. It's going to be great. And JBL was just like, oh yeah, it's going to be so fun when Jeff Hardy starts drinking again. Lol, lol, lol. It's like, what? Stop it, JBL, you mean person. But the show proper actually kicked off with Banks and Bayley coming out doing their great heel stuff. I'm super into Banks and Bayley right now. And I really, really enjoyed what followed this. Because it actually carried on the character work that they've been doing for Nikki Cross before Extreme Rules, which was one of the things that I said on last week's show. And I was like, I really hope that they follow through with what would happen to Nikki if she lost. And they are. I'm really into this character
arc. Can you believe it?
I know, yeah. Nikki and Alexa came out. Nikki Cross's music played, not Alexa Bliss's. Little dig in there. That's step one. Yeah. Nikki came out and was very upset and just saying, you didn't beat me legit. You used me with, you know, the foreign object. My ribs are taped up. Sasha, you stole that title. And Bayley, you don't deserve to hold that. I won another match, which was fine. You know, as babyface getting fired up, all good. Love it. And then Alexa Bliss just goes, Nikki, I don't think you should be doing this. Like, I don't think this is advisable. And I was like, ooh, tension. Okay, cool, into it. And then Bayley, I think this was a masterstroke of booking, being like, yeah, sure, you can have another rematch, that's fine. All you got to do is you got to have a match. And I was like, oh, don't tell me they're going to do another match where Bayley sets up Banks to go onto it again. He's like, you got to face former SmackDown Women's Champion, future Hall of Famer, Alexa Bliss. And I was like, I thought that was a really, really smart piece of booking. Because then Nikki kind of looks at Alexa and they're kind of giving each other the side eye. And Nikki's like, well, I just got to do it. I need to win the title. I got to do it. And she just shoves over Alexa Bliss and then just storms the ring. I was like, ooh, I like this.
I like the brief hesitation, but not a lot of hesitation from Nikki's part. It was very much that she knew what she was going to do. She knew what she wanted. As soon as Bayley said it, I think she was like, okay, well, obviously I'm going to do that. But you could tell that she almost kind of wanted to make it look like she was thinking about it, but actually she knew. The match that followed was nothing special, but actually it never really had to be, because this isn't really about the match. It's about Nikki Cross and her story. And actually having a consistent women's storyline, other than Bayley and Banks and Asuka and stuff, is really refreshing to have, especially when it's someone who isn't, I would say, stereotypically Vince, loved by Vince. So she's short and brunette and Scottish. So foreign, not blonde, and short. That's a heel to me in Vince's book. But no, it's just really great to see. And it's lovely to see someone who, obviously, she was part of Sanity, RIP, most of which, I mean, Killian Day's back in NXT, Eric Young's in Impact now. So it's good to see at least one part of Sanity is getting what that group deserved.
Yes. I thought the match itself, it wasn't anything special in terms of like in-ring technicality. I thought there was a lot of emotion behind it, which really lent itself to it. It was a very psychological match. And I really enjoyed the fact that there were shades of both of them working heel in the match, which I thought was great. At one point, Alexa Bliss was just repeatedly going after Nikki Cross's injured ribs. I was like, oh my God, Alexa, she's your friend. Stop it. But then at various points as well, like Nikki won with a heel tactic where she missed the flying crossbody and she was like playing up at injured ribs, being like, no, like Alexa like backed off, like concerned for her friend. She walked in towards Nikki and Nikki was playing possum, rolled up Alexa and got the win. I was like, oh, that's so smart. I really like this. Like both of them are just like, they don't want to acknowledge that they're being dicks to one another, but they kind of are. Like, and Nikki is just morphing into this character who's just obsessed with winning the title. And I don't know where it's going to go, because now Nikki is facing Bayley next week for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I don't think Nikki's going to win, and I don't think she should, but I'm really curious to see how they're going to make her not win, because her whole story has been about, you know, I have to win. I have to do this. This is the only thing that matters to me right now. And they had a backstage promo just after this match where they were saying, you know, they made up. There was a little bit of tension still, but they made up. Alexa said, here's some water. And hey, I know you said last week you don't get as many opportunities as me, but you definitely earned it for this one. So let's focus on next week and all that stuff. Yeah. And then, they kind of hugged it out and Nikki was getting excited for the match. But I'm thinking that next week, either Alexa turns heel and costs Nikki the match, which I think would be very interesting and it would make sense. Something else that would make sense is Nikki turns heel. After she loses again, perhaps Alexa comes out to try and help her and ends up inevitably costing Nikki. Or Nikki just loses and gets so frustrated that she takes it out on Alexa Bliss after the match. That could also work. I'm really invested in this story. Yes. I really like it.
I think there needs to be a heel turn. The only negative side effect of this is that it limits the women's tag division even more, because there are like three or two.
There's the Iconics and Banks and Bayley, right?
That would that's what you would be left with on the main roster yet.
Yeah.
In NXT, I guess Asuka and Kairi Sane, but
Kairi's going to be gone after Raw next week. So,
Yeah, I guess it's Dakota Kai and Raquel,
Raquel Gonzalez, whatever
her surname is now, on NXT. And I guess maybe they can fudge some other ones together. I mean, you'll probably get like Dana Brooke and Carmella, who are best friends.
I think you're forgetting the epic Raw tag team of Ruby Riott and Bianca Belair. Thank you very much.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I completely, that, for some reason, that completely skipped my mind. Sorry.
Anyway, thoroughly enjoyed that whole segment, the arc that was through it. Thought it was great. Really invested in the characters. The one downside I have for this, and it is a nitpick, is Corey Graves on commentary. God, he was annoying. Banks and Bailey were on commentary through the whole thing, putting themselves over, being great, and just having really good answers for everything. And then Corey Graves just goes, you know, I'd really like to see the Bailey Alexa feud once again. Do you remember that time when you went to go hit her with a kendo stick and then you chickened out? I was like, Corey, stop burying terrible angles that happened before. And then Bailey kind of stuttered for a second because she didn't really know what to say back. And then she was like, do you remember the time that I hit you with a kendo stick? Because that could happen right now. And I was like, that's a good way to get out of it. But Corey, stop trying to bury your angles. Like, these are your top heels on SmackDown. Like, don't bring up terrible, terrible booking from the past that she did as a babyface. What are you doing, man?
I do generally phase out the commentary, and I have to say, I didn't pick up on that. But yeah, especially as he is the heel commentator, that's his job. So coming in and going, I mean, you're a babyface, is just a bit weird. So yes, don't do that again, Corey.
Yeah, it was bad. After that, we got a quick recap of the swamp fight at the horror show at extremerules at AOL.com. And then we got a Firefly Funhouse promo where Bray was on the Firefly Funhouse set. He was kind of speaking to the lantern, the Bray Wyatt lantern, just being like, I can't let you out again. Because the lantern was doing his whispery voice thing, speaking to Bray. And Bray was like, well, I can't let you out again. You had your chance. Now it's his turn, talking about the Fiend. Mm. And he's saying, and he's been unleashed. Ooh. Ooh. So if it wasn't clear enough from the swamp fight, probably going to be seeing The Fiend again soon.
At cool. SummerSlam, which is where he debuted last year.
Yep, that was his debut match, SummerSlam last year against Finn Balor. So that would be nice. If he can become Universal Champion again around then, that would be a nice little tie-up for his year, I guess.
I think so. For his baby face push.
Yes, baby face Fiend. baby Fiend. After that, we got a quick match between Matt Riddle and Tony Nese. A match to get over Riddle's offense isn't the worst idea in the world. He has had two longer ones, though, which kind of used all his offense already. I just hope that this is kind of the only enhancement match that he has. Mm-hmm. Doing one just to be like, look, he's really good. He can beat the lower card people quite easily. Here are the moves you need to look out for. There is big spots. It's not a terrible idea, so I don't mind it. And especially because afterwards as well, he got on the microphone. He won in about like 2 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
Just did his big moves and won. And then he got on the mic afterwards and called out King Corbin, saying, I don't know how to do this because I'm new here, but I'm calling you out, bro, or whatever he did.
I don't like the whole because I'm new here. It's like, yes, we know you're new to SmackDown, but you did actually exist. You weren't born on the day that you were debuted on SmackDown. You have done this before. You've had feuds in other wrestling promotions and in NXT. So I don't know. It just feels like they're trying to reinvent the whole I don't wear shoes because I got frostbite. And that whole thing, it's just like, you don't need to give Matt Riddle more of a character than the character he has, because first of all, his character is incredibly one-dimensional, which is fine for someone like Matt Riddle, because it's just,
that's all you need.
I'm a bro. Yeah. Because
super chill guy that likes to do a wrestling.
And he likes to do wrestling. That's good. We don't need him to be like, oh yeah, I have weird toes that don't like the cold. Or the shoes make my toes hurt. And also, I've never been in a wrestling ring before. What do I do now? Yeah, it feels, it's just SmackDown writing, unfortunately. So hopefully they leave him alone now.
Doesn't
need more character work.
Not overly hopeful, though. Just from the fact that he called out King Corbin. Corbin came out and said, you don't belong here on SmackDown, etc. I'm so confident in that, I'm going to put a king's ransom on your head for anyone that can take you down. Tony Nese immediately went after him and Riddle just kicked him in the head. So I'm hoping this doesn't lead to a load of jobber matches for him. I'm hoping it's more of a thing where there's loads of people that are trying to chase him backstage. And through the night, we get him. He's constantly being assaulted by random people who come up to him and try and take him down. And he just beats them all up. I'm okay with that.
24/7 championship. You want Riddle to be the 24/7 champion. Is that what you're saying, Pete?
New title of the video right there. No, not that. But not a horde of people chasing him and him comically running off. I mean, someone comes up to him and tries to beat him up. And then he just kicks him in the head and throws him into a steel guardrail or something like that.
Yeah.
And he just just beats people up and looks cool doing it. I'd be well okay with that. I just hope it's not like, you've got a bounty on your head, so here's someone. Johnny. Here's unnamed enhancement talent to take you down. And he goes, oh, bro, let's go, bro. And then gets in the ring and then just beats him in like 30 seconds and then that's it. Mm. I don't want him to have matches. I want people to try and beat him up backstage. That's a difference. So hopefully that will be good. Riddle also had a terrible line about Corbin being the next special guest on the Bro Show. Don't make that a thing. That sounds awful. Don't do that.
Yes, exactly. That's the same. That's what I'm saying earlier. He doesn't need more character work. Don't give him a silly gimmick because he's Matt Riddle and people like what he does now already. You don't need to make him something that he doesn't, particularly doesn't need and doesn't want to have.
Yeah, totally. After that, there was Miz TV with special guest Naomi. After Naomi blew up on social media this past week with Naomi Deserves Better, the hashtag, which came about because people thought that she was being mistreated because she lost to Lacey Evans in like 2 minutes and because her whole feud is based around karaoke, which is awful, lest we forget Karaoke Showdown. But they had Miz TV, they came out and my first note for this is I was like, if they belittle that Naomi movement, people are going to be so mad. Luckily, they didn't too much. Naomi came out and cut a really impassioned promo about why the fans have stuck by her for so long, despite everything that she's been through, all the essentially terrible booking that she's had. Fans have still stuck with her. And they said, this isn't the first time you've gone viral, because you did when you came out the Royal Rumble early this year. You went viral from that too. And she was like, yeah, so why aren't I a champion? But Miz just brings the whole move right back down, just going, here's Lacey Evans. I was like, oh.
What are your views on the whole hashtag? I mean, because it's difficult. It's very difficult to talk about because unfortunately on social media, the moment you say, oh, well, to be honest, I'm not that big a fan of Naomi, you get a lot of people jumping on you saying, well, that's just because you're racist. And it's a difficult one to kind of to tiptoe around. But like, I like Naomi. I think she's a good wrestler. I think there are lots of people who deserve better. It's good that at least someone is getting this kind of social media push because there are so many women in the back who don't get any airtime week after week after week. So to see someone getting it is really refreshing. Whatever, it's Naomi, that's cool that it's her. And especially after the fact that this whole feud, as you said, is based off of karaoke, which is just embarrassing, not just for her, but for everyone, I think. Even like Lacey Evans, who's kind of the whole reason she's a heel now is because she lost, because that just makes her look like an idiot as well. I don't know. It's a difficult one, but at least something is happening. And at least they're responding to it, not in a way which is, well, we saw your hashtag, screw you.
Yeah. And in terms of the hashtag, my views on it, I do agree that Naomi deserves better because I think as a vet of the company, as someone who's been there for 10 years, and as someone who has consistently shown to have a connection with the crowd, and supposedly that's all you need to get a push. Like if you're over with the crowd, you're over with management. That's supposedly what it's supposed to be in WWE. And it's not really been the case. Every time she's been over, anytime she's been hot and trending, they might just be like, here's one match for you. And like, that's it. They've never really gotten behind her. They gave her a couple of SmackDown women's title runs, but that was like hometown pop at WrestleMania. Mm. You can have your title, but we're never really going to push you as the champion. That was all kind of the revolving door of women that just got the title consistently. Yeah. So I think, yeah, now that they've actually got a solid women's division who are treated equally to the men, I think it's time that someone like Naomi, who is a very gifted athlete and has a connection with the fans, a chance to shine. Yeah, I don't disagree with the hashtag. I'm not saying that she deserves it over other women, but she definitely does deserve better than she's got.
And hot take, when you've got someone like her who's a veteran and you're like, well, she's a veteran, she deserves better. Like, but then you've got someone like Natalia who, like, exactly the same way. You can describe as a veteran. But Natalia is my least favorite wrestler, I think, in WWE. She is so boring. But they've pushed that. She's consistently pushed as this possible number one contender and as this amazing wrestler. Then you've got these other people who are so much more interesting and have also been there for a long time, but have had nowhere near the amount of success or as pushed. I know that Natalia's got the heart link, which has been very useful for her career, because I think honestly, without that, she wouldn't be where she is today. So yeah,
you're gonna get so much hate on Twitter.
I know. I'm sorry. Do people really like Natalia?
Yeah, of course they do.
Sorry, I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I'm sure she's a really lovely person. I just don't like her in-ring work.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there's much more people who are interesting than her. I think there's people who've got connections with the crowd much more than her. For example, Naomi. And that's all you really need. You need someone who's over to give them a push. And I think that's all that really matters at the end of the day. Anyway, that was a tangent. Naomi comes out and says, you know, people still sticking by me. Lacey Evans comes out. Miz introduces Lacey Evans. She comes out and says, yeah, you've been in WWE 10 years. Not got much to show for it, though, have you? And then Naomi kind of snaps, just starts beating her up, and she smudges the makeup that she was doing in the ring for some reason.
Like,
not the lipstick, Naomi.
Is this a Naomi heel turn? I mean, is this a Lacey face turn suddenly? Oh, no, you just don't do that, Naomi.
Not the makeup. Great shot of Lacey being so upset about it, looking in the little, I don't know what they're called, the little makeup mirror thing that she's got that she's looking at her face in. I feel like there's a specific name for them. Can't think of it right now. She's looking at that. The lipstick she was applying has gone all over her face. It's funny stuff. Anyway, if this is going to lead to Naomi getting a big push and maybe ending Bayley's title reign, I'd be okay with that if they did that. I think if they push her properly as a legitimate star, rather than just like feel the glow and that's it, I could see people getting behind it even more than they are currently.
As long as it's not so obviously just as long as it's not really cheesy in the way that it isn't like I could just hear winning and then Michael Cole shouting, "Oh, and hashtag news, Naomi deserves better," and it's just kind of like, just try and make it as organic as possible, because she doesn't, you can riff off it for this week, but next week you don't want it to happen again. You don't want them to just every week for the next 4 weeks going, oh, by the way, hashtag Naomi deserves better.
I tell you what's organic. They've done it before, twice. Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston. It's stuff that people really, really, really wanted, and they kind of shoehorned them into stories where they were not building to, but they shoehorned them into stories anyway because it's what the fans wanted and went with it. Just do that with other people. It's all we're asking for is for our voices to be heard, and that's it. So if people like to get behind Naomi, then do something for her. She's facing Lacey Evans next week. If she doesn't win that match decisively, Twitter's going to be so mad. So mad. And I think they're just going to have even more social media backlash than they had before. Anyway, I think that's enough about that. We got a recap of New Day versus... I've written in my notes New Day versus Big E. New Day versus Cesaro and Nakamura from Extreme Rules. Kofi Kingston walks out of the trainer's room going, oof, my ribs. and then tells Big E that he's going to be out for 6 weeks. That's pretty big. And then, really like this, Kofi Kingston goes, hey, E, like, me and Woods have been talking about this for ages. It's your time as a singles guy. Go do your stuff, man, as a singles guy. Because, you know, for however long we've been together, you've been so selfless. You've been putting the group first. Like, when I had my WWE Championship stuff, you were so supportive. There was no shades of jealousy or anything. But now, there's no Woods. There's no me. Now it's your time. Go do it. And he was like, I don't know, man. And Kofi was like, no, just stop it. Just go be an awesome singles wrestler. And then they like hugged, and he was like, I really appreciate it, man. I'm pumped. They're putting it over as a big deal that Big E's going to be wrestling as a singles wrestler. I'm excited for it now because they put it over as a big deal, and I bloody love Big E.
And I just can't believe this is the way he's turning heel. Like, it's really cool. Like, I've waited for Big E to be a single star for so long. Like, I really like the New Day. I've loved the New Day ever since they were created. But my God, is this overdue? Because the thing is, you can still have the New Day, and you will still have the New Day once this is over, I'm sure, or once this push is done.
Once Big E's turned heel and face again, yeah.
Yeah, Big E is such an imposing figure, and he's so good on the mic, and he's so over.
Hashtag Big E deserves better.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do. I mean, even if it's next couple of weeks, he's just beating up a few enhancement guys, but for me it makes sense for him to go after AJ Styles now that Corbin's going after, well, Riddle's going after Corbin. I think that'd be a really 100%. cool kind of eventual feud for Big E, and for him to win the IC title at, let's say, SummerSlam or whatever the next show is after that, would be really cool.
Yeah, 100% agree. And potentially foreshadowing that, as soon as that promo was done, AJ Styles' music hits, and I was like, I see what you did there. And AJ came out.
AJ Styles.
Came out to do commentary for the next match, which was a fatal four-way to determine the number one contender who was going to face AJ next week, between Gran Metalik, Lince Dorado, Drew Gulak, and Shorty G. All right, yeah. I really like these guys. Sure, why not? Winner faces AJ for the IC title next week. It's a shame that Gulak has been relegated somewhat. Remember when he was on par with Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, I mean, it's because, do you know the reason it is? It's because Daniel Bryan's not there. And therefore, they're like, well, Gulak can't have his own character.
Yeah. But this match, though, super fun. Super fast-paced, as you'd expect from these four guys. Super fast-paced. Loads of really cool spots. AJ on commentary, I thought, sounded really lost without like a scripted promo. He was just saying things. He was just like, is it Metalik?
I'm that ring over there. I'm that apron.
I am the bar, man. There was a really cool sequence I liked where there was a Gulak from Gulak.
Yeah.
Into a really extended ankle lock spot from Shorty G, and I thought that was going to be the match. Kind of got the ankle lock, Gulak made it to the ropes, but he pulled him back, then locked in the right bar, and I was like, right, cool, Gulak's tapping. And then from out of nowhere, Lince Dorado just splashes onto him and just breaks it up, which I thought was great. And at that point, I was like, oh, well, I have no idea who's winning now. Yeah. And then after that, my God, Lince Dorado on the top rope, Shorty G comes up and just throws him to the moon and back off the top rope, just flying across the ring, backflipping out of nowhere, rolls out of through the ropes out of the ring from the impact of it, was great. And then Gran Metalik just runs across the ropes, hits an elbow drop and pins Shorty G to become number one contender. That came out of nowhere.
It did. Don't like elbow drops, but it did come out of nowhere. And he's not winning, but he's genuinely probably the second best luchador WWE has on their books. I mean, obviously you've got Rey Mysterio, but like before he came to WWE, Gran Metalik was regarded as one of the best Mexican wrestlers in the world. And that's saying something. Unfortunately, you wouldn't know that if you'd watched WWE for the last 3 years.
You'd know it if you saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic. After that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is great. And I'm actually genuinely quite looking forward to the match. I think if they give it a proper like 10-15 minute treatment, I think that would be really good. Mm. I would have much rather, though, that Lucha House Party got pushed in the tag division, because now that there's no Kofi, you run into the same problem as the women's tag thing. You've got Cesaro and Nakamura as champions. They have no one to face. Like, literally, no, like, the Usos, if they come back, that's someone. Miz and Morrison, they're heels.
The Forgotten Sons.
They're heels.
Otis is back next week. TV.
Otis is back next week, so Heavy Machinery, maybe. But they were advertising that the love story continues, so it's probably going to be an Otis and Mandy thing rather than a Heavy Machinery thing. Like, yeah. So I reckon it would have been better for them to get pushed in the tag division. Maybe this is a way for them to set it up. Maybe Cesaro and Nakamura come and cost Grand Metalik next week, and that's the way they transition to the tag division. I don't know. But, yeah, either way, I'm still looking forward to that IT title match. And yeah, as I mentioned, Cesaro and Nakamura cut backstage promo saying, "We're going to splat everyone in the tag division." I was like, "Who's that?"
Yes, splat is a very threatening word as well.
It is, yeah. It's threatening when it comes from Shinsuke, okay? Mm. Yeah, we got a recap of the entirety of the Otis and Mandy storyline and saying that the love story continues next week. And yeah, then after that, it was the main event bar fight, which we've already spoken about. So that was the show overall. I thought it was pretty good. I thought that there wasn't really anything actively bad on the show. There was a lot of stories and characters that were furthered, yep. Stuff that I'm actually really interested in and stuff I'm looking forward to next week. Got a couple of title matches next week with Bayley versus Cross and with AJ versus Grand Metalik. I'm really invested in that Nikki Cross story, man. And Brother Nero coming back actually excites me for now. So I'm giving this a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I would have said high 3, low 4 out of 5. So absolutely good show. And there was, compared to 2 weeks ago when we were crying about the karaoke, the last 2 weeks have been so much more bearable.
So this morning, Datsun, you'll be very interested about this because it's about food and it's about very sweet things,
ooh,
which you're very into. Mm. I had Pop-Tarts for breakfast, which is
scumbag.
The second time in my life that I've ever had Pop-Tarts, ever. I just went to my local small supermarket yesterday just to pick up a couple of things, and I saw that these Pop-Tarts were on reduce. There was like, you know, 4 packs in there for like £1 or something like that. So I was like, sure, why not? Let's just grab some Pop-Tarts. And they're the, I believe the actual name of them is Frosted Choco-tastic.
Wow, that does sound Choco-tastic.
Yeah, exactly. And I had some yesterday just chilling, just straight out the bag. And I was like, for breakfast this morning, I'm going to have them toasted and I'm going to see if there's like a massive difference or not. Because I know people in America are very, very one-sided when it comes to toasted or not toasted. And they were fine. They were so, so sweet. Like, I think I have a bit of a sweet tooth, but that is an absurd amount of sugar to have in something.
They
boast on the box of the Pop-Tarts, they say, in fact, I'm going to grab it just so I can not miss.
Go for it. I can. There is a famous Pop-Tarts advert, which was tweeted out by the official Pop-Tarts account, which said, "Hey, what do you do with your Pop-Tarts when you're not eating them?" And it just says, "I put them in my fanny," which to Americans is fine because that apparently just means fanny pack. You put them in a fanny pack. But to British people, that suggests that when you're not eating your Pop-Tarts, you shove them up your vagina.
That's a weird time to come back into this call.
Yes, which just got a lot of people interested. It's probably the most interest Pop-Tarts I've ever had in the UK. I've never had one.
Why did you call me a scumbag for having it then?
Well, because I never had one. And because basically you eat one and you feel your teeth falling out at the same time.
Yeah. How would you know that if you never had it though?
Because I've had other sweet things. I've had other American candies, which are vastly inferior to British ones.
In your humble opinion. Yeah. So on this box.
No, that's a fact.
on this Pop-Tarts box, they have the gall to advertise there are no artificial colors or flavors.
Well, I guess if it...
How is there no artificial flavors? The entire thing is artificial.
Show me the box. Yeah, see, I mean, I guess that's no artificial because it's just brown and therefore that's cocoa powder.
But the entire flavor is artificial. Of course it's artificial. This isn't a natural thing. They've made it. Of course it's artificial.
But it's made of cocoa powder, which is not artificial. Cocoa powder is made from cocoa beans.
Ingredients now. Don't like that. God, that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah. What percentage sugar is it?
So
figure it out.
Per bar.
Yeah. How much is a bar?
48 grams, right?
Yeah.
The weight of that, not the amount of sugar it's got in it. A 48-gram bar, 2.3 grams of it. 18 grams of it is sugar.
So that's about
20% of your daily recommended intake of sugar per bar.
Yeah.
So if you have two breakfasts, that's 40.
That means that the bar itself is about, 40% sugar.
Yeah, about 40% sugar, which is just absurd. Like, that's so bad. And, I think as a dessert, I could maybe have one as like a treat. But having two this morning, I was like, my teeth feel horrible.
One of my favorites is Fanta Fruit Twist, the drink. Right. It's called Fruit Twist, and it is what do you reckon? What percentage fruit do you reckon it is?
Oh, not much.
It's 4% fruit.
That's 4%
fruit juice. That's an interesting one. But speaking of fruit, Pete, you may have seen my Twitter. I've been doing a bit of gardening during lockdown, and I've been growing some tomatoes. My tomato plant is now taller than I am, which is impressive. The thing is, everyone keeps telling me, "No, you got to cut it so that it focuses its energy on growing fruit rather than growing tall." But I'm like, nah. I want to break the world record, which is currently 19 meters. Mine is about 2 meters.
Ways to go then.
I'm pretty much there. I'm also growing a cucumber, which because I'm growing inside, I have to fertilize myself. I just dropped my pants and got a cotton bud or a Q-tip, as I suppose most people would prefer. And you have to, so cucumbers have male plants and female plants, and you know that because like one looks a bit different to the other. So you basically have to put the Q-tip and kind of swirl it around inside the male plant and then shove it into the female plant and then swirl it around so that it pollinates and then it fertilizes itself. I think it's worked because the day after I did that, the plant kind of closed. And I think that a cucumber is going to start sticking itself out of the lady plant.
That's kind of gross. But
and
yeah.
If I know anything about sticking cucumbers into ladies, it's that eventually it's going to be very tasty.
Speaking of
interesting snacks, I feel like we've got some snack clashes.
Yeah, we got some snack clash. Okay, here's a relatively longer email from Owen, spelt Eoghan.
Oh, he's Irish.
Who says, "Hey, Pete and Andy. Since you guys are looking for some more snack lashes, I thought I'd throw this one out there. The snacks in question are particular Irish delicacies, but I'm not sure if these are a thing in the UK, so apologies if this isn't weird at all. Attached below are some pictures of the food. Over here in the Emerald Isle, we have crisp sandwiches or chip sandwich for the Americans. It's pretty self-explanatory. Two slices of bread, usually white, with some tatoes, cheese, and onion crisps inside. Some people have it with ham slices and buttered bread. This would often be had at sporting events such as hurling or Gaelic football matches, or just at home if you're a broke student like me. They're somewhat difficult to eat as one bite can send a load of crisps flying out the opposite side of the sandwich. Despite this, it's still a delicious and simple snack to have." So first off, the email's not done there. However, crisp sandwiches, amazing. I love them.
Absolutely. I have cheese and onion crisp sandwiches all the time. The trick is to squish it down so that the crisps don't fall out and have it with a glass of milk. It makes it No, better.
You lost me at the very
last bit. I used to, almost every lunch at my second year of university, I would have a cheese and onion crisp sandwich or two and a glass of milk because it contains
the milk.
No, it contains, I don't want crisp floating in my milk.
That would be disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. It has zero nutritional value, and I feel like that is a good metaphor for university.
Absolutely, yes. The email continues to say, the other snack I want to share is the pairing of a packet of Tato's crisps and a Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate bar. This can be done with virtually any variant of a chocolate bar and crisp, but the Tato and Cadbury's combination is simply the best. It's such a big thing here that in 2013, the Tato company produced a limited edition Tato's Cheese and Onion chocolate bar. The bar itself was quite small, and at the time I remember liking it, but it was very much a love it or hate it kind of snack. Anyway, sorry for the long email. Thank you guys so much for entertaining us throughout lockdown. I can't imagine getting through it without everyone at WrestleTalk. Hope you guys are all safe and well. Love you, bye. Owen from Tipperary.
Tipperary, it's a long way to get there. I've never heard of Tato's, but I just looked them up, and it is basically only manufactured in Ireland, so it must be a real thing over there. I mean, obviously, chocolate and crisps is a great snack. No, it is. I'm more of a Galaxy kind of Mars fan than I am Dairy Milk, which I know is probably treason. But I just find Dairy Milk is a bit stodgy and a bit claggy when you're eating it.
You just two words that I don't think are real.
No, stodgy and claggy are both words. Claggy especially. It like kind of gets very sticky in your mouth, whereas I find Galaxy's a lot smoother. And you don't want a sticky mouth. But my friend keeps forgetting that I do not like Dairy Milk that much. And every year, I don't know if she's doing it as a joke now, but she gets me like lots of Dairy Milk for my birthday. And it was my birthday 4 weeks ago, and I still have two massive bars of Dairy Milk in my fridge doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants any, drop me an email.
Yeah, we'll give them away,
or send me a tweet at @andydatsonwt, and I will probably send it to you. Unless you're that guy from Leeds, whatever wrestling, who decided to throw lots of homophobic slurs at me this past week on Twitter because I wrote a story about the Impact Championship belt being a fake, which apparently was very offensive to him. So thank you to that man. It was a pleasure having a chat with you.
Yes. Also another Snacklash. Let's move quickly on from that. We've got one here from James. It says, "Hey, Pete and Andy," unless this is someone else. It's not. "My name's James from Ohio. For my odd snack, I have..."
That's a strange surname.
"I have two things. Both include the same one thing, so I figured I'd state them both. It starts with when I have a can of..." Wait. There's a typo here. I'm just going to make sure I'm reading the right thing. "A can of ravioli?"
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
What did you think the typo was?
No, it says can on raviolis. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, let's just make sure it's the right thing. Usually meat flavored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "I like to dip peanut butter sandwiches in the sauce. It's the same for a bowl of chicken flavored ramen noodles. I enjoy dipping peanut butter sandwiches in the broth. I've enjoyed both of these things for about 10 years now. I just turned 26 on the 1st. But anyway, I've been watching for years. Thanks for all the laughs and the good times with the boys. Thanks for reading my email. Hope you guys have a great day." Okay, this is real Snacklash territory.
That's rank.
Gross.
That's revolting.
I'm not a huge fan of peanut butter anyway, which again, James, is treason.
Yeah, but James from, what was it, from Ohio, was his surname?
From Ohio, yeah.
That is disgusting. I mean, I don't eat peanut butter. My brother is like deadly allergic to it, so we never had it in the house, and I do not like it. That's disgusting. I don't know why, James, but I'm picturing, and correct me if I'm wrong, and if you want some chocolate, I'll send it to you. this sounds like something you eat in a gaming chair playing a game. And you've got just a bowl next to you, and you've on the other side you've got this sandwich. And every time you like die on Call of Duty, or every time you get to a save point, you just grab the sandwich, dip it in some ravioli. And I don't know why. You're just in a basement. I don't know. That sounds like food you wouldn't show anyone. you would want to eat it in the dark. What are you eating over there, James from Ohio? Oh, no, nothing. Oh, it smells like peanut butter and ravioli. Oh, no, I had that earlier. I mean, I had ravioli for lunch. I'm just having a peanut butter sandwich. Whoa, crazy about that. But no, James, that's one of the more disgusting ones I've heard.
That is what we were hoping for from Snacklash. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for that email, James. Should we do one more?
Let's do a quick one.
Let's do one more. This one comes in from someone called Skewered Head. Something tells me that's not their real name, but who knows?
Scottish name.
Totally, yeah. Hey, Pete and Andy, I have a couple of food combos I enjoy that you might think are weird or gross, but not as gross as Andy eating everything with milk. Oh, God, we're back with peanut butter again. Here we go. First one, peanut butter and hot sauce sandwiches. And if you like peanut butter...
Stop eating peanut butter. It's disgusting.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. But if you like peanut butter, I could see that being nice because hot sauce is good.
Yeah, hot nuts.
I don't know what this means, but peanut butter and cold cut sandwiches.
Cold cut is like just ham, like cold meats.
Right. I mean, that's fine. Again, if you like peanut butter, I imagine that would be nice.
Sometimes at the end of like a month, after payday, I will go to my local supermarket and buy every single possible cold cut. I'm talking Parma ham, Serrano ham, ham, salami, chorizo, and just get a giant baguette and just layer it along. I'm not a vegetarian. And it's just the best. You always end up just completely cutting the inside of your mouth on this crispy baguette, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, totally. Skewered Head just signs off by saying, take care, guys, and jam that jam, Skewered Head. Thank you very much for the email, and thank you everyone who emailed in. That's probably the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back with some more content soon. There's no actual pay-per-views or anything soon. We're just in the lead-up to SummerSlam now, which is mental, and TakeOver, I guess. Thanks for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.